A big shout out to our brand new sponsor, Oyster. Oyster is a beautifully designed subscription-based app that gives you access to read unlimited ebooks for $9.95 a month. It's like Netflix for books. And they've been featured on the Today Show, CNN, and named one of the best apps of 2013 by TechCrunch. So head on over to oysterbooks.com/how for your first month free. By the way, people, we are back at Largo. That's right, we're doing another live show. This one is in September. It's September 20th. Get your tickets now because, August is going to fly by. Finally, a kid's movie that proves the age-old adage that a kid's best friend is a 7-foot-tall, scary-ass-looking Scottish bear that makes other kids piss their pants. We saw Gooby, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How to Disconnect. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, I'm terrific, Paul. How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Raphael, how are you, June?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. We have a very special guest today from the hit TV show, Nathan For You. Please welcome Nathan Fielder. Give it up for Nathan. Welcome, Nathan.
Woo! Thanks for having me.
And your show comes back on June 24th. If you've not seen the show, put your DVRs. So it's amazing. It's so funny. June 24th. Set those DVRs now.
But we will wait. So please go to your...
We'll wait. We'll give you like what? Like three minutes?
I was going to say like two and a half minutes.
No, I'll give you three.
Okay, just in case you're powering up.
This movie, Gooby... Holy moly. People have talked about this movie.
Really? I've never heard of this.
I've heard about it through people who like bad movies. Like, have you seen Gooby? And so it's been on my radar.
I had a question just straight out of the gate. I didn't do any research on this film. And at a certain point, I started to feel as though this might have been a film made for kids dealing with mental illness.
Well, I wrote
mental illness. Mental illness. Like as if to say, like, here's one for you guys. Like, you're dealing with a lot. Like, the world is, like the kid is definitely having, like, some sort of, like, spells.
I really want to get into that because that was my biggest question, too, which is the setup of Gooby's arrival.
Correct.
Because it actually does, I would argue that he's just a kid with an active imagination. And he moves, and that's a big change for anyone.
I just felt that his active imagination was not, it wasn't like, oh, he's so creative. It was like, his mom says hallucinations.
Here's my question. Were the problems starting before he moved out of that house or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay, so he's
already been
house,
to the therapist. The mom says, you know, doctor, remember what Dr. Such and Such said.
But here's my question. It seemed like he enjoyed the town and he had friends at his old school.
Sure.
He didn't want to move.
He just didn't want to move.
He definitely didn't want to move. You're right about that.
So this was, I guess what I'm saying is this was a chronic condition.
He has some sort of weird,
is this the kid's problem on the spectrum.
What's going on? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
This is what's hard to wrap your mind around, because you want to think that it's circumstantial, that something major happens, which is that he's totally uprooted from his life, and then he's so scared of new experiences, and Gooby comes to the rescue. But that's not what happens, which makes me wonder, where was Gooby... all along.
Yeah.
If he was having those problems.
Where was Gooby all along? But also, I felt at a certain point, I was like, oh, this is going to be a Calvin and Hobbes kind of scenario where the Gooby character, only he sees the Gooby as the person.
No, everyone sees Gooby.
Nope, not true. Everybody can see Gooby as a giant monster. There's a monster in the world. And so the kid imagines other monsters. Remember that blue monster that's in his backyard?
That's one that he's really afraid of, that two-headed
monster.
Yeah,
I didn't understand that part.
So is that monster
also real?
That
was called a Hooby?
Hoonies?
Hoonies, yeah.
Right, which is really close to Gooby.
Gooby, yeah.
Now, I will.
Oh, yeah, there's a real consistency. They're all part of the same phylum.
But in the setup of the movie... the kid is kind of telling you his struggle, and you don't really empathize with him, right? Because he seems like he's troubled. Like, He seems like he has a harder time than the average kid would dealing with what are kind of basic things, right?
Yeah, like, well, it seemed like as much as he loved that, he seemed like he wasn't healed the proper way either, because
from some trauma, I don't know. Well, because was there trauma?
I think it was just like systematic bad parenting. Like his
The parents in this movie are assholes.
The movie is a scathing indictment of two working parent households.
Yeah. Here, take a listen to the mom and how bad she is.
This has gone on long enough. Okay, we're moving today.
You're wrecking all my stuff.
Unbelievable. 6 weeks we've been dealing with this. You're way too old for this behavior. Way too old. But those are my battle plans, my models, and this is my aim of the fire. Keeps me safe from danger.
Okay, now I'm hearing new things upon the second viewing. She's saying that this has been going on for only 6 weeks.
No, the move is...
This is to establish the time jump, because this scene comes after.
So as soon as he starts preparing for the move, the Hoonies...
No, he's drawing the Hoonies in like the first scene. Like they are, he is having full
really
blown
breaking into the Hoonies.
He's having full blown like hallucinations that aren't just like an active imagination, because we see them brought to life like in his world. Like when he's visualizing them, he's like, oh my God, there's a Hoonie over there. And he gets really still and whatever. But then also Gooby comes to life. And he's standing over there. And
Gooby is not also a toy that, like, you would think in a movie like this, like in Calvin and Hobbes, Hobbes is like his toy that he plays
his, like,
with.
His best friend.
His best friend. But this Gooby is not his best friend. This is a discarded toy.
If anything, in the first 10 minutes.
And he left it at the house.
Absolutely. In the first 10 minutes, you think the amulet's going to come back.
You did? That this movie was going to be about the amulet?
There are so many references to the amulet and how he's how he's close to that amulet that...
I would love it if the amulet instead came to life.
As an amulet?
Yeah, Booby the amulet.
But I wasn't there. I feel like Gooby... By the way, the movie's original title was A Ted Named Gooby.
My other question is, I didn't think of Gooby as a monster. Yeah. I thought of him as a teddy bear.
I did too, but everybody keeps referring to him as a monster.
Okay, which I have an issue with because he doesn't look.
Well, there was the craziest thing too, where like people who saw him would see him as a monster.
Yeah,
but then when Halloween hit, well, I'm jumping out of order. It's like it keeps going. Like Halloween comes, and then everyone sees it as a man in a costume.
Yes.
And then also throughout the movie, it's not consistent when someone says, oh, it's just a guy in a costume, which they use to cover him sometimes.
Yeah.
People all believe it immediately.
That's totally
and aren't
cool.
even, no one's even saying, that's an amazing costume. No. That's the greatest costume I've ever seen. People just think it's, oh, that's just a like man in a costume.
No, nobody says, oh my God, for a second I thought that was a real monster.
Right.
Well, and that was
or a bear.
Or a bear.
Or a bear.
Well, my thing is this. It's clearly not a real bear because it does not look like a real bear, right? There's nothing about it that looks like a real bear. It looks like a man in a costume. And so when Eugene Levy's character...
Eugene Levy's in this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you're wondering if Eugene Levy's in this movie, he is. And he's awesome.
I love Eugene Levy, and I'm excited that he did this. But his character has a lot of things we have to talk about. But when he wants to get a picture of this... What would stop anyone going, well, that's just a picture of a man in a costume. Like, because, that was my issue with it, too. Like, oh, look at this creature. But then they'd be like, well, that's just a guy in a, like, we don't believe Bigfoot
did
picture.
Did anyone else notice that they were referring to him a lot as an orange monster?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm colorblind, but I didn't think he looked orange. Now, I know this is a small detail.
He was, like, brown.
He's brown.
Yeah.
As I know it.
I would say that as well.
But
I
think everybody kept calling him. Did you see the orange monster?
I think they already had the script written.
Oh, so there were no changes.
Someone made the prop or whatever, his costume, and then they just said, well, we're not going to change every word to brown.
Here's the weirdest thing about the look of Gooby.
This is the weirdest thing about the look of Gooby? All right, great.
Gooby is legit terrifying to look at.
Yeah, not a fun creature.
Gooby is not lovable, is not like... Gooby is like,
what is his personality?
What is his age? Because I also had a real problem with this being.
I felt he was a middle-aged man.
There was a middle-aged man taking this young boy out in the middle of the night into like deep into the woods. I was like, what is happening?
Well, that's that. My big concern about this movie was that it was like. It, like, Gooby acts like
a child molester. Yes,
child molester throughout this whole movie. Like, sit on my lap.
Do you trust me? He says at one point, tomorrow I want you to go on an adventure with me. Don't you trust me? I was like, the answer should be no. The lesson we should be teaching children is no.
Yeah.
I don't trust you to take me to the woods.
Very uncomfortable at the very end, not to reveal anything, but.
Reveal away.
The very end, when Gooby finds another friend. Another child in need who's like this young, very young girl with pigtails. I felt a visceral, like, no.
Yeah, don't give, don't give.
Gooby did not want to share his relationship.
No, you're saying don't give Gooby to this poor, don't saddle this poor little girl with this sentient middle-aged man doll.
Very wrong to me.
Yeah, I agree. But she kind of wanted it.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe it's about, like, a child dealing with sexual abuse from his father.
Yeah.
And how
sexual abuse is a systemic problem that gets passed on from one family to another.
So he's trying to act like it's a fun doll.
It could also be that.
It could totally be that. Because I thought for a while that Gooby... we were going to reveal that Gooby was also in the dad's life.
That's what I thought, too.
But I thought we were all headed there. Here's the big issue
If the movie had all been a reveal that Gooby was a representation, a fantastical representation of molestation passed from father to son to father to son, like three generations of molesting, this movie would have instantly become the greatest movie we've ever done.
It would have made sense. You could argue there is no plot to this movie. You can't
this
say...
This makes Jack Frost seem totally normal.
I'm not like exaggerating. Like, oh, there's literally no plot. There's actually no plot.
There's no plot. There are five actors. It's almost like Brechtian. What's happening? It's like so few people in an environment that has no other people. The entire like hokey kind of crazy supermarket scene. Like somebody's gonna see Gooby. They're not. It's empty. There's not a person in this supermarket.
But by the way, Gooby does not also try to hide in front of people either.
No,
Gooby
loves talking to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I ask again, what is Gooby and who is he? Because there are times where he seems like I would love to say, oh, Gooby always forgets how big he is and Gooby always forgets his stature and so just runs out and he thinks he's a – that doesn't seem to be the case. At points, he seems very
– savvy.
Very savvy. Yeah. Very insightful.
Well, he brings Willie to the father's old home.
Gooby is like going like Stanley Tucci and Lovely Bones on this kid. Yeah. He's bringing him down to weird. Well, no, Gooby is not like. I couldn't even describe Gooby like as
That's
a character.
Saying.
Yeah.
What is he?
One of the first things he did was blow a fart in the kid's face.
Yeah. That.
Right?
That was like, the perfect part. That's their bonding moment.
Him. Right, yeah.
And he also is eating out of a giant Tupperware of raw hot dogs. And he goes, watch this.
Scene.
He takes a bite of a hot dog and just throws it at the kid's face.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
As if that's a fun game.
There's also the scene where Gooby first... Gooby first goes to... When Willie's trying to find out where to put Gooby in the house...
It's a very, like, E.T. kind of scenario.
Yes, and he takes him out to the shed. And Gooby says, I can't – could anyone hear? I also had trouble with, like, the sound mix in this movie. I couldn't hear a lot of the words. But doesn't Gooby say, I can't stay here because there's – why doesn't he stay in that
in
shed?
In the basement. He doesn't stay in the basement because it's too dark, and he's clearly afraid of the dark.
No, that's then... the first night out in the shed.
Then he, that
dude, no, they
that,
move from the
then he moves
to the
him to the shed, and that's when Gooby. That's when Gooby's reading comic books and drawing pictures. And at a certain point, I was like, he can't sleep. Like he's definitely going to jerk off, right? Like that's what's coming next. Like, he's like so like, oh, I'm up. I can't fall asleep. Oh, I might as well pound my gooby.
And by the way, he's also watching TV shows, like watching very old movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, like a 45-year-old man in a shed.
Well, also, Gooby is voiced by Hagrid from the Harry Potter movies, Robbie Coltrane. So that should be noted as well. He sounds like an older Scottish gentleman.
Well, let's actually play the scene where we meet Gooby for the first time. Let's hear that one. Let's get a sense of what Gooby is like.
Gooby?
The bells.
You guessed it. Thought it would take a lot longer than that.
Not Hoonies?
Hoonies! Hoonies!
So Gooby is also afraid of Hoonies.
No, he doesn't know what they are, though. Oh, shortly after that, he's like, wait, what's a Hoonie?
Okay, so... Yeah. That's just sort of like the gruff lovable.
Again, I just want to reiterate this appearance of the magical bear come to life is appearing to a child who is already experiencing hallucinations.
Yes, but he's not a hallucination.
But Gooby is not a Snuffleupagus kind of figure.
But the only way that they describe Gooby is he goes, the kid at one point with narration, it says, little did I know something magical was going on at my house.
Right.
And which Gooby just gets like hit by like a wave of electricity.
Magic lightning.
Like magic lightning.
See, the problem I have with the way that they have made Gooby the Muppet or whatever. Not Muppet.
I would say you calling him a Muppet is actually really offensive to the Muppet
He does look like a taller, much, much cheaper, more menacing Fozzie the Bear.
Yes.
He looks like the characters that hang out on Hollywood and Highland. Like if you were dressing like Fozzie, like this is like the $70 version of that
some
costume.
Sort of public domain Muppet.
And that's what's so upsetting about the way he looks, because he's adult-sized.
Yes.
He's the size of an average man.
Yeah.
And so... when I'm looking at him, and he's a little bit wider, but he's essentially like, if you just saw figure go by, you'd be like, that's an adult man. But he has a scarf on and no other clothes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that's an image to me that I find deeply unsettling, because it's, when you're just wearing a scarf, I look at him and I think Gooby's naked. Like, Gooby's a naked man.
Because he wears a scarf.
Running around. And I know he's an animal.
Do you feel
animal.
Like that with Donald Duck?
No, I don't, but that's because of his size.
And he's always and he's always animated too. Like
yes.
There's something about an animal wearing no clothing, which is fine.
But totally
an animal wearing a little clothing. So you know what? Then this is a choice.
Well, my issue,
and this is aggressive. You know what? You are forcing this on me.
I didn't like
his assless threadbare either. Like his butt
like
cheeks were threadbare.
When did you notice that?
Oh, whenever he's running away.
Hey man, stop checking out
Gooby's butt. But I thought that was an odd choice for an anime like a puppety character. Like that, whenever he ran around,
I hope the director was like to the props department or whoever was making wardrobe or whatever was making that costume was just like, but you know, there's got to be some areas where there's been a lot of wear. You know, like the kid always holds it there. There's got to be a lot of wear. Like maybe the ass cheeks. Like the ass cheeks are really worn.
Well, that's also a weird place to get wear on a.
It's true. I thought it was supposed to be like a bear's actual ass. Like it wasn't that they were trying to make it look worn, but they were trying to replicate.
The actual ass of bears.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, okay, go ahead.
Please. No, he just had the tag too, which was
that was.
At first, I thought it was just a bad costume thing where that's where the actor got in.
Yeah, too. I didn't understand what that was.
But it was just like it was a blown up version of the tag.
That's right.
But cut off, kind of like, or was it? Yeah. It was. Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Now, I will say that Gooby, while a confusing character, I find this kid's parents to be really upsetting.
Yeah.
Because there's one point, and this is a moment that really called out to me, like, the kid he's covering for Gooby. There's noise upstairs.
Right.
And so the parents are hearing the noise upstairs, and the kid tries to be like, oh, I'm getting sick, to distract his parents. At which point, like when he's getting sick, his parents protect the Chinese food in such a way it's like, oh, don't get it on our Chinese food.
Yeah, don't barf on our food, gross kid.
Like they don't want, like they're terrible parents, really bad parents.
You sort of find out what is going on with the dad later on when you realize like he grew up in a very, you know, poverty-stricken neighborhood and his father was always working and so... You kind of understand his drive, but the mom I have more questions about because she's also
working.
She was
going back to work.
What do you mean she was going back to work?
Wasn't that part of the thing? She was going back to work full time for the first time?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's why they get Mary Poppins. That's why inexplicably there's a nanny that shows up in the middle of the movie with
the
Mary Poppins accent.
And the nanny doesn't do anything. The nanny just sits.
I thought she was going to be like the Snoop who's trying to always uncover Gooby.
She's just doing laundry for days.
Yeah, she loves folding.
None of these characters work in tandem. Like, it could be interesting if the nanny was trying to get one up on Gooby, not the school teacher who's Eugene Levy, who's played his character's name, which is great, Nerdlinger, in case you wanted to just set it out there for everyone. They say Nerdlinger about 15 times before he's introduced.
Well, he's an interesting character because so he's introduced as their regular teacher's gone off on maternity leave, so he comes in. And he has written 3 books about a fish.
Yes. Yeah, like children's books.
Children's books. And none of the kids know the books or know of them. And so he's very upset.
Yeah.
And so his whole thing is like he wants to get famous. And I'm just trying to make the leap with the film. Like he wants to get famous. So in order to do that, he's going to reveal Gooby.
I guess. He's going to take a picture of Gooby and be like, hey, look, I proved there's a monster.
There were 2 voiceovers that established that. One was the kid just said he wants to be famous.
Yes.
Right. It was all an ADR. You're right. Right. It was not.
And then he said something.
Yeah. Eugene Levy says, like, not all of us can be famous or something like that. Like, he makes a subtle.
It was also off camera. It was, like, thrown in there.
There were scenes where there were so many lines off camera that the people on camera are just reacting to just because they simply did not have actors that day. Like, they would be running through the supermarket, and it would be just on the kid and Gooby, and then somebody would be like, hey, you, get out of here! And they'd be like, whoa!
That's true.
Gooby in the supermarket, that's when Gooby really makes his presence known, because Gooby likes cookies, obviously. Gooby loves cookies. And also, just to show his parents not being interested at all, they go, the boy's name. I'm sorry, I forget the kid's name now.
Willie.
They go like, oh, Willie's sick today. Oh, why is he sick? I don't know. I found 50 cookie wrappers. And but they don't seem to be even like, oh, he shouldn't eat 50 cookies. They're just like, whatever. And they're leaving him. So Gooby goes to get cookies at the supermarket. And that scene is way too, like, that's like the fun montage. Like, you would think, like, they're running around having fun, but all they are doing is just running down, up and down aisles in a supermarket. And at one point, Gooby pulls him so violently that the boy is suspended in air like he's flying.
Oh, yeah.
His socket would come out.
That was a weird choice, that flying thing, because that is the first time it's established Gooby has this strength or something or speed that you never see utilized anywhere else.
And it doesn't come back. Like, that's the other thing, too. Nothing comes back. Like, that doesn't, like, even at the end when the boy is in peril, there's no, Gooby doesn't use that speed, doesn't
Gooby's,
use.
All Gooby's able to do is dial a cell phone when the kid is in peril. The kid,
Think Gooby's really, I think what Gooby's purpose is ultimately, because Willie also wanted to build some sort of a cart, right?
A moon.
Like a spaceship kind of thing.
Right. And he's got issues at school where there's a bully and he has to stand up to him, although he doesn't really.
Gooby does. On Halloween, it makes him pee his pants.
That was really upsetting to me. That whole sequence.
They shouldn't have done that.
It's Halloween.
They really shouldn't have done that.
They
shouldn't have done that. To see a kid piss himself like that was
sexy.
No, it wasn't right.
I had a whole problem with that scene. Now, this is a Canadian movie. I realized that midway through when I saw the Captain Crunch was Captain Crunchy. Yeah, so
I didn't know anything about this going in. And then there were 2 kind of bombshells I saw when I Googled it after, that it was made in Canada. And the thing that blew me away the most was that it was made in 2009.
Yes.
I honestly thought this was made in like 1985.
Yeah, it is.
The way it looked. And because there's this issue where, like, there's this one scene, too, where it's a big plot point, but the guy, the dad has to go at some point, leave the house, and he says to the mom, like, you have to stay here in case the police call.
Yeah.
Implying that, like, cell phones... That's don't what, exist.
I wrote that down too. And yet Gooby has a cell phone because Gooby calls, Gooby uses the kid Willie's cell phone to call the dad.
No. 10-year-old. Like, how old's that kid?
Yeah, like he's like 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah, he has a cell phone.
Yes. But the mom
doesn't. And the mom doesn't even object.
Oh, no.
Like, and the son's missing and he's like, I'm going, I'm not saying where.
Well, the weirdest thing about that scene too is that she's like, she's very upset. And he's like, don't worry, I've spoken to the police. They've assured me that they will call as soon as they know
that
anything.
That was the best, yeah.
Which is like, he's not saying, don't worry, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's just like, they've told me they'll call.
And then he's like, I got to go out for a minute. And she's like, where are you going? And he does. He goes, you stay here. He's like really emphatic about it. And that's what I wrote in my notes. I was like, their marriage is terrible.
This is back to my question about Canada. And this is, I don't mean to be naive about this, but.
But you're from Canada, so you better know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, something else about this movie.
Yeah.
The budget was $6.5 million,
yes.
I saw. And Canadian films are funded usually, if not entirely, a large percentage of them with taxpayer money.
Yeah.
So this film was made with taxpayer money.
Do you want to hear the saddest?
So you were there in Canada in 2009 and paid for this.
I did pay taxes dollars. There in 2009.
So you're one of the backers of this movie.
Yes. You have a real conflict.
The original conflict.
Indirectly, I invested in this movie.
Because I didn't see your name enlisted in the producer.
We don't get credits for it. We just
don't.
Support the art.
You should arbitrate.
General.
You got to get a credit.
That's probably why Eugene Levy is in this movie, because he's a Canadian citizen, right?
Yes.
So yeah. I imagine, like, but now here's
so he has to, you mean?
Well, no,
they make him. They can call anybody back and be like, you gotta do this.
I think there is where you have to do, like, you have to do some sort of art in, like, if you still share citizenship, you have to do some, but here's...
Wait, what's the rule you're saying?
I thought there was a rule that if you share citizenship, if you're still, then you have to do something in Canada in the arts of that, but I could be totally wrong.
No, that's not a rule. That's so crazy. No, can you imagine being like mandated to go back to be in
like,
this movie?
Like some sort of prison.
Right.
Like, where are you going next month? Oh, well, you know, I'm half, I was born in Canada, so I still have Canadian citizenship, so I got to go up and I got to make a terrible kids movie.
So you don't have to go back to Canada to make a TV show.
No, but for you to get Canadian funding for a movie, it has to be... Like the leads in the movie have to be Canadian.
Okay.
So since he has
in order
a major
to qualify
role,
for that money.
Yeah. So they'll try to get people. Yeah. So that's why it was definitely Canadian funded.
Well, do you want to hear how much money it made? You said it cost 6.5, which you're right about. The opening weekend gross, and this
was released in theaters.
I guess, but listen to the opening weekend gross: $706. $706. That doesn't even seem possible to me. The lifetime gross is $3,234.
That's like Delgo numbers.
Also, this is one of the higher budget movies to come out of Canada in the past decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money that I did not see.
Where did they spend that money? Not on extras, not on the
suit. If you look it up, Telefilm is the place that funds movies in Canada. I wonder what they did kick into this because...
I will tell you.
Maybe we should investigate.
Movie. Or it could have just been he invested his own money, but I don't...
The writer-director, Coney Bear, his name is...
Coney Bear 2012?
Wilson Coney Bear. He's the writer, producer, creator. He also did Shining Time Station.
$6.5 million. There
on this
are
movie. That
a
is kind of fascinating.
Of locations. There are no extras.
There are no extras in the movie whatsoever, except for the students in the classroom scenes.
Well, let me ask you this. This is the question that I had before about Canada. On Halloween, they make it like they go out to go to the movies on Halloween, and that doesn't seem like...
Is that a tradition? Maybe?
Yeah, is that a thing?
Explain yourself,
weird
country.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
but did the movie take place in Canada?
That, I mean, all I know is that in the supermarket,
they never said
Captain
the words
Crunch
Halloween,
was,
though. Do you remember? They kept on saying October 31st.
Yes, that's true.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
I mean, clearly it was Halloween.
I mean, it's not called something different in Canada, is it?
Well, it's October 31st day.
But like, that was so, it was so odd to get dressed up in your costumes to then, and they seemed like they were going to the movie midday. It did not seem like it was even an evening.
I don't know.
Act.
I thought that just might be like convenient storytelling, get all the kids in one place.
But wait,
kind of whatever.
You could have, again, Gooby being like this child molester. Gets all the kids in to see an R-rated movie.
Oh, yeah. What was that? That's like the guy.
That's pretty upsetting.
That's like the creepo that buys you booze or gets you into an R-rated movie.
Everything that Gooby does.
Gooby is definitely a child molester.
That's a good theory. Like, maybe Gooby embodies the dad when he's drunk.
Ooh. That would be interesting.
And then when he's sober, he doesn't spend time with the kid.
Yeah.
So that's the two.
Yeah.
What if the dad dresses up in a bear costume?
That's
and
the reveal.
The child?
That's the reveal. Is that like
the dad?
I want
to
molest my son, but I don't want him to know it's me.
Right. Oh God.
This is.
Do you want to be a secretive molester? Invent a complicated narrative where you confuse your son into believing that you're a 6 foot tall monster that's his best friend that nobody else can see.
Get a great Scottish accent and he'll never recognize you.
Whether you're a family relative, a neighbor, come down and buy one of our molester suits.
Guys, get a load of this great idea. Nature Box. I want to say it like Outkast says speaker box. Each month, you get a box of delicious snacks. And just not any snacks. These are the real deal. No high fructose, corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors, colors. These are smart snacks. And let me tell you something. It's real good. I got this. I get them. I got pineapples. I got figgy bars. I got delicious granola. And you know why I enjoy it so much? Because I know that each snack faces strict quality standards and are nutritionist approved. Great job, nutritionist. That must be a fucking cushy job. Like, I work for NatureBox. I get to eat snacks all fucking day. So rather than picking up something while you're at the grocery shopping or, just grabbing some junk when you're home late at night, get some good stuff, keep it in your pantry or your shelving. I don't know how you guys do it. Maybe a lot of you guys are on IKEA couches. Put it under your IKEA couch so your roommate doesn't eat that shit. Sound tasty? Hell yeah. Want to feel good? Fuck yes. Go to naturebox.com/how to get not 10, not 20, but 50% off your first month. It is time to get snacks that you can feel good about again. Go to naturebox.com/how today. Sponsoring today's show is Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. Here's the deal, people. You don't believe that Squarespace is the best? Well, I'm going to put it this way. If Squarespace were in an alley with another kind of all-in-one platform about web design, it would fucking kill it. It would stab it. It would kick on it. It would piss on it. It would just humiliate the body of an all-in-one platform. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Squarespace is fast, it's easy, it offers beautiful designs, okay? There is 24/7 customer support on this motherfucker, and they have a drag-and-drop interface, so you don't have to learn any geeky shit. Just make your site about the benefits of stroking it at work, and it can go up immediately. Plans start at only $8 per month and include a free domain name if you sign up for what? A year. That is pretty damn good. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter the offer code June, J-U-N-E, at checkout. A better website starts with your website. Oh, that's lovely.
Here's a weird thing in that October 31st scene where he goes up to the kid, the bully, the redheaded bully who's been, harassing him. And Gooby.
I could listen to you say the name Gooby for an hour.
Gooby.
Gooby. It's like the goo. You're putting the goo in Gooby.
Gooby actually does become a monster for a moment.
At the movie.
And scares the shit out of that kid, yeah. Which makes him piss his pants.
Well, that was like that's probably where the 6.5 went, because for that moment of CGI where his face, like, because Gooby is his mouth is not moving. Like, whenever he's eating, he's just shoving things
but
to
Paul,
his face.
That's what was really, that's honestly the biggest problem I have with this movie.
Yeah.
It did move a little bit. His mouth did move a little bit.
Guys, don't fight.
Okay, but not enough so that it seemed like he was talking.
Yeah.
Well, but
yeah.
not so yeah. little that we're just buying into the fact that
yeah. it seemed like an air hole that had some give to it or something.
Yeah.
It wasn't Robbie Coltrane in the suit.
If it was, he should kill himself. The ending, I had like some real, I got real upset when the ending was Gooby takes the kid like Stand By Me style to like
you want to go see a dead body.
Yeah, basically kinda. You want to go see a dead body, but not a dead body. Back to the dad's old, where the dad grew up, the apartment building his dad grew up in. They find the dad's apartment, fall through a hole in the floor. The dad comes to visit. The scene where the dad goes into his own secret room felt really uncomfortable.
Again,
I felt like this is the two things that I thought, especially when then Gooby showed up. I was like, oh boy, this is like some sort of molesting room. I did, in all honesty, think the dad's version of Gooby was going to be there as well.
Well, that would make sense.
I think we all did.
Like, the idea would be like that, because Gooby also takes the dad into that room. He's like, you know, when you're a child, I'm not doing the Scottish accent, I apologize, but he's like,
How dare you rob us of it? Because we all know you do a perfect Scottish accent.
Well, I don't want to brag, I don't want to boast, but he's like, when you're a child, you forget things from your youth and you just forget about it. I'm like, oh, this is so great. He's going to forget about
Gooby.
No. It was just like his dad had like pictures of trucks and stuff on the wall, and Gooby was not a part of it. Nor did the dad freak out when he saw Gooby.
No, he was like, "I'm totally cool with this Gooby situation."
Like, it was like, "Oh, you're my kid's toy, but you're like you're 8 feet tall and you're talking alive. Yeah, and you're alive. Like, there was no reaction.
And again,
to it.
I don't.
Maybe he's trying not to be rude.
I hesitate to go back to something I talked about in Jack Frost, but Gooby eats.
Oh, I know this.
And
is...
never shits.
Well,
he is full of stuffing.
Okay, but wait.
He cuts his arm and he's full of stuffing. So, come on, guys. Like,
don't you just
Gooby,
think that,
there's no organs in there.
Well, first of all, you also talk about it like you see normal people in movies shit. You never see Tom Cruise take a shit in a movie.
Yeah. I do. I do in almost everything he's in.
I'm gonna guess when Gooby's eating himself in gummy bear form in that sequence in the movie where he was. That's the other thing too. Gooby has a knowledge of the world that is not as small.
Oh, he knows what everything is.
Yeah, he's never like, what is this? He's not
E.T. in that sense.
I don't think that Gooby's also masticating, by the way. I think it's just lying on top. So he may have a smell because the hot dog is laying on top of the cookies and stuff like that.
The thing is that. That's what's weird about the movie is we don't know. Did Gooby have other adventures with other kids before Willy?
Oh, please. I'm sure Gooby's been terrorizing children for a while.
Because he must have been bought as a toy, new, from a store, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I think.
I don't know.
So there's lots of him.
I don't know.
Well, because I think he's like Chucky.
He's
like,
just
I think
one
he's like Chucky. Like, you know how Chucky gets the spirit of a serial killer inside of him, or a killer. Like, Gooby is just a doll. Like, he seems like that scarf, and I know that scarf upsets you, but that scarf seems like they make gummy bears out of him. Like
that's not Gooby.
That wasn't Gooby, though. He says it looks like him, but it's not.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's where it's like a clarifying scene that he wasn't a bear. That's the significance of that, right? Because he was saying, that's me.
They made
toys like, they made food like me.
Got
it. And the kid said, no, that's not you. Those are bears.
So what if
that was a scene
in the movie?
A shot that widened from the
there was a was bunch. There was a bunch of scenes that I was like, "This is an interminably long scene for nothing to be happening."
And by the way, the movie is only an hour and like 30 minutes at the most, 95 minutes. Yeah, it is a short movie that has a lot of long scenes. I'm also going to put out on the thing and just see what you guys react to. I think that the kid Willy is an unreliable narrator because I don't believe anything that he's saying throughout the whole movie.
His voiceover is like, and that's when the trouble started.
Yeah.
Well, he did say that whole thing about the traffic jam. Like, we were in traffic and everyone saw us in traffic. It wasn't traffic. It was a stoplight with three cars at it. And then he also was able to recognize as he was flying past in this flying like go-kart that his teacher is in one of those cars.
Yep.
But I don't understand how he knew that either. And who is he telling this story to?
Who is he telling this to? No, to
that little girl?
Probably to his therapist.
years later.
Probably. I mean, like, I would love that if it was to the therapist. The scene, because the thing what I was like, I really believed for a good portion of the movie that the reveal was going to be that his hallucinations were causing the Gooby doll to come to life, much like Calvin and Hobbes. Okay. And then when an adult is in the room, Hobbes is just a stuffed tiger. And when he's not in the room, he's like, you know, Calvin's buddy and partner in crime. Like when they're on the go-kart, reminded me of Calvin and Hobbes sledding, right? But then, and I was like, okay, I'm almost willing to buy that the kid who has hallucinations and all this stuff is in a tough time, is his imaginary friend, like, what's the imaginary friend movie? Russell Brand was going to remake it.
Drop Dead Fred.
Russell Brand was going to remake Drop Dead Fred. Oh my gosh.
I love that movie.
Like that, you know, like that kind of imaginary friend movie. But there was a way in which when everybody saw Gooby and Gooby brings everybody together or whatever, that I genuinely was like, I have no fucking clue what's now happening. Because now anything is possible. Like this is a weird magic universe that backs up the kid being like having hallucinations and stuff. Like that all worked out in favor for him. Like I'm worried for this kid, basically. Guys, I'm worried for Willie.
I'm very upset by this whole.
You should be.
Strangely, I thought the weirdest part of the movie was the Eugene Levy storyline, which I know you were talking about before, June, a little bit, but that is entirely motivated by him saying in one line, like really quickly, like, anyone who takes a photo of Gooby will be famous.
Yeah.
He says that. And that motivates his whole obsession.
And it's not even like the town.
That and his love for Canada.
That.
Well, he's mandated to work.
He was mandated to do the movie.
It's a slavery. It's, but that is interesting because also the town is not being afflicted by Goobies. Like, it's not like it's not like people are like, oh, thank God you found this picture. Like if he was, again, I will go back and say, if he was to hand that picture to someone, someone would go, yeah, that's a guy in a
chick. Yes, mm-hmm. Paul, but the bigger question to me about his character is...
Whereas E.T. was something different.
He set out... He wrote these three books. He is a teacher. He's in the world of children and probably clearly children's literature.
Clearly unsuccessful.
Unsatisfied. Yes,
but it's interesting that he would... He wrote three books that I guess didn't do very well. But it seems like that is sort of in the world of things that he wants to do.
Well, he hates Alice Carroll. He was really shitting
Lewis
on
Carroll.
Yeah. Yes, but like it's lined up to his profession in a way. And so it's such a huge character leap to just believe that this guy who that he was writing those books from the get-go just to be famous.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's really crazy.
So he wants to be taught like Alice in Wonderland, but I was thought you were going
to
say
I don't even know if that's I don't know if that's important to him or if he just wants to be a famous children's book author.
Yes, and then but then he's
you know like those kind of folks that we all know.
He's so willing to abort that dream.
Yeah.
To just be famous at any cost.
Yeah, he's like taking it down to Planned Parenthood and is like get rid of this dream.
There's an insane person running around the town. Like, well, that's crazy.
I thought you were going to say, wouldn't it be more interesting if you were a teacher to be like, oh my gosh, I'm inspired to write a book about Gooby.
Yeah, that's
and that becomes like the new book.
That's here's what's weird. One of the things that's weird is when on Halloween it begins, I think, but then it recurs a little bit is Gooby, when in public, will frequently pose as Willie's father. And they will hold hands.
I didn't like that one bit.
Well, he even says, Gooby says the most upsetting
I'm this boy's father.
I didn't like it one bit.
And they hold hands a whole lot.
A number of times. Well, and this is the weirdest thing. So the cool kids from school, I actually did think that one actor who played like the super popular boy was great.
Yeah, real talent.
So he, so Willie gets in with the cool kids because Gooby posing as his dad got him into the movie.
Gooby.
Gooby gets him into an R-rated movie.
Maybe I'm forgetting what it's like to be a kid. 11-year-olds
should not be
like a Saw type movie or something.
Right. Maybe I'm forgetting what it's like to be a kid, but it also seems like a jump that just because one of your parents is cool, you would be deemed also cool.
Oh, I was super cool because my dad was cool. No, that's lunacy.
It's a crazy thing.
Well, it seems like they would want to hang out with Gooby.
Right.
I didn't like at the end of that scene though. Someone like when after the kids like when the kid you know the kids think he's really cool and they say maybe you can join us and play soccer at school tomorrow. That was like he's in now with the cool kids, which is the most polite inclusion into their group. And Gooby says, "I like being your dad," and I think the kid.
I didn't like that part at all.
And then later he says, "Later, I'm pretty sure I imagined him saying, who's your daddy now?"
What were your favorite parts?
That's a great question. Okay. There was a line, well, this is not really my favorite part, but there was a line that I loved, which the dad said in the beginning about why they were moving, like what had happened in their lives, where he said, you know, change happens all the time. He goes, you remember when Joey's dad and I even started this business? That was a big change.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite parts because I don't know who Joey is. We've never even met Joey. I don't know what this man does. It was just so absurd. But favorite sincere parts of the movie. I did enjoy some of the the shots from behind of Gooby running because I know Paul and I spent a lot of time on Gooby's ass, but his ass was like so wide. Like,
you like that?
It was just satisfying to watch. It was just comedic.
I agree. Like those are the moments where you're more thinking about the man in the costume.
Yes. Oh, yes. And it was just
and how he's able
there was some
to
joy
run
to it.
But, well, the guy in the costume is working hard. I feel like he's really physical and, you know, eating those hot dogs.
Those are my
I feel like if
parts.
People, yeah, if people don't want to watch the movie, but they're interested in seeing some taste of it, I would say if you just watch the supermarket scene,
you get.
I don't think you need real context for
no.
it. And
no,
you kind
you
of
don't.
Like that might be the best or like the most interesting part of it.
I would watch like the. I would watch the reveal of Gooby in the backyard with the rake. I would watch the supermarket scene, and then I would watch from when Willie falls through the floor till the end.
Yeah.
So I would watch. So that's probably like max 15 minutes of watching, and you're gonna get some pretty rad stuff.
I just want to, just because I feel like we haven't heard enough Gooby. Can we just hear Gooby talking about how what his name sounds like in the markers here? Just take a listen to this clip. Just to.
I don't remember this.
Oh, this Gooby.
Sounds like snot.
Snot. What sounds like snot?
My name. You were young, so I can't complain, but I always thought it sounded like great big gobs of snot. Markers!
He loves markers.
I love markers!
I don't think you should be...
I very much think I should. Markers are about the best thing in the world. Next, of course, to those window cookies.
So that's the kind of character, that lovable character.
That's like in this movie. They were like, "Yep, we got it." That scene cut together well.
Well, not to like reveal the ending because I don't want to end our conversation, but I do want to just talk about the ending about another thing. At the end of the movie, obviously the dad sees the error of his ways and decides that he needs to be a better dad, so he quits his job to build a treehouse, which seems a little bit reactionary.
I thought he was gonna. I thought he didn't quit his job. By the way.
He went on sabbatical.
He went on sabbatical.
To build the treehouse.
And a man named Rally became a partner, which
apparently
maybe
Raleigh.
Was Joey's dad. I'm sorry, Raleigh.
It does seem like there are a couple movies going on and we're just checking
that's
with
what I'm
parts
saying.
Of it.
I think there were a lot of scenes cut. In the beginning, I think they added that voiceover later on. I think there was a lot of like just scenes lifted.
Well, this was supposed to be a trilogy. This was supposed to be like.
By the way, they definitely leave it to that because this is what I'm getting to at the end when the dad, like, oh, everything's fine in Willie's household. The dad and him are going to build a treehouse. Dad's on sabbatical. Raleigh's taking over. And the kid and Gooby are talking as they're leaving Home Depot, at which point, and Eugene Levy has been foiled, at which point, Gooby just kind of walks off frame. And we're like, oh, where's Gooby? And we see him creepily staring down a young, disillusioned girl who is also in the parking lot. Just also kind of, it doesn't seem like she's being totally neglected by her parents. It just seems like she's in her head.
She's and he's like staring at something.
And he's like,
I like you.
I like her. I like her. I want you to help me put her with her, which is
super creepy. And then this
hey, Willie, will you set me up with this little blonde over here? I'm wild about what she's doing.
I'm done with you. I want to get with this new girl.
Hey, Willie, what do you know about this blonde over here?
So, at which point, another thing that we've never seen happen or referred to, Gooby shrinks down into inanimate
stuffed animal form.
And then the Willie brings it over to the girl.
Yeah, here, let me saddle you with a nightmare for the rest of your life.
By the way, it would have been useful for him to do that many different parts of the movie.
Yes, to shrink down and become a doll.
Sure,
that's what I think.
I think he has to remain as Gooby. Oh, God. I think he has to remain as Gooby until his task is completed, and then he can, like, move on. I think that's what it was.
Wait. So you think the Gooby is only activated by longing of a child?
No, I think you're onto something. I think what the movie is actually really about is you're supposed to think the whole time Gooby's there for the kid.
Right.
And then you realize at the very end he's really there for their parents.
He's really there to reunite the kid and the parents, basically.
Okay. But the problem with that is that in the scene with the little girl, they're just focused on the little girl. Like, they don't...
Right. Yeah. Well, but now he can pass on Gooby.
Gooby will pay attention to you when your parents won't, or when your parents are not. When your parents are not paying attention to you.
That's the idea. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the idea. Because he says when he brings.
I would also say a little bit of the idea is like Gooby will also help you with facing your fears.
No, because Gooby was equally afraid. Because basically the parents go, yeah, he's not afraid of those hoonies anymore since we moved to this house. I don't know. The logic of this movie is flawed.
It's really hard.
Because Gooby just makes the kid piss himself. Well, Gooby does say,
Gooby, when he brings Willie to the apartment building, his dad's apartment building, he says, I think I know why I'm here now. I think I'm supposed to bring you here. You know, he thinks, he recognizes that I felt like that he has been brought to life in order to achieve a purpose or a task.
Jason. Earlier on, when Gooby's in the attic and they're looking through all that stuff and they find that photograph of the dad outside this shack, the kid starts to look at it and Gooby goes, no, not now.
Oh, interesting.
Or something like that.
I thought Gooby, I did think.
first, let's kiss.
Did you think that Gooby was going to kill himself? I thought Gooby was taking him. Like,
what?
I thought Gooby was
going to. Did you think Gooby was going to kill himself?
I thought that Gooby was like walking the kid
like
out.
Like pre-suicidal?
But he's like, I'm taking you out to the forest. This is where I'm going to die. Like,
this is like the scene in Miller's Crossing. Tom, look into your heart. Look into your heart, Tom.
Gooby takes off his scarf and strangles Willie slowly but surely. In the remnants of his dad's old apartment.
Did anybody else think that also the new house was not that much nicer than the old house?
It was a little bigger. It was a little bigger. It had that big yard.
What was the reason they moved again?
Because they're making bank now.
Is that why?
Money. Yeah, since the dad went out on his own. Holy cow.
But well, not on his own since he partnered with Joey's dad.
Oh, yeah.
As
a construction company? That Gooby winds up at one day?
Oh, yeah. Gooby
does. Get there?
Just keep in mind,
this is the craziest thing about the movie is there's so many ways to get him there. And the way that they get him there is that something happens at school where...
Well, this I want to talk about. They show us a scene of the kids playing soccer.
October 31st.
After October 31st, it's probably November 1st. And
October 31st. Ooh, scary. October 31st.
Well, everyone knows that Halloween is a copyrighted name. You can't say it without paying a lot of money to Halloween. So it's like the birthday song. So the soccer ball is coming down, at which point Willie runs to push Colin, the cool kid that June really likes, and he's like, watch out! And he pushes Colin out of the way, and it looks to be like he's going to take a soccer ball on the head.
Yeah.
But that somehow, like, seriously injured him so much. Like,
no, it didn't.
Who did it injure?
Colin.
So I thought that was a miscommunication. So Colin just got injured from falling down because Willie pushed him?
I don't know what actually happened. What I do know is this. A message was left on Willie's household answering machine.
I know this, yeah.
Where they said there's been an accident –
Like a head injury.
A head injury.
Yes.
Oh, so, of course, Gooby assumes that it's... Well, this is the crazy logic to get Gooby to the construction site, but Gooby assumes it's Willie.
So, are you telling me that the school called up Willie's house to say, another kid in your school
that's
got injured today?
Yes, because
Willie says later on,
to be fair,
I had to go to the nurse's office with him.
To be fair, Nathan, does that happen in Canada?
Yeah.
Where
everyone in the class
school
is called?
Notifies all parents.
When one kid gets hurt.
That's how. Because it's very, it's like three-person classes.
I
thought it was Willie that got... And I didn't get that either.
You see,
no, because...
But I was really loosely... Did you guys watch it together?
Yeah, we did.
We watched it together, yes.
Yeah. And you watch it...
I just watched it alone. Like a very sad man in his 40s who purchased this movie.
And I mean, I don't know if it's more fun or like you guys are discussing it, but like... It's an infuriating experience to have to watch that, and like
it's depressing.
I'm talking about it with some amount of joy, but believe you me, I was very angry.
We do a lot of movies on this show,
some
of which are a delight
to watch.
I know
you guys have
to
do this, yeah.
You know, this felt like punishment. Like this was retribution of some kind.
I will say this: I just found out something interesting. It was produced by John Calvert, who I just Googled, and he is a famous magician. So I don't know what that means either, but that's a very odd partner to be the... He is an American magician, so that's who produced this movie, and a weird older magician. June, talk to me about the construction site, because I didn't want to cut you off about how he gets there.
Well, no. So there's a message that's left on the home phone of Willie and saying that there's been an injury, and... Willie's, I think, in the nurse's office. So the dad happens to be at home and runs out to the car. So, of course, Goopy thinks he's going to school.
You're not just full on saying Goopy.
Goopy thinks that he's going to school to be with his son. So to Goopy's surprise, they head to the construction site. And so... I think this is all supposed to further our idea of like this dad really doesn't give a fuck about his son. But then what we'll find out later is that his son was never hurt.
Correct.
So
Colin was. Because Gooby says, how's your head?
But did the dad know that? Or did the dad knowingly neglect his son?
Yes, I don't know. I mean, I think probably he doesn't. I think probably not. A little bit of both, but I think probably not full on neglect.
Okay.
But they are neglecting him. They're passively neglecting him. But I think if true trauma had occurred, I feel like they would have jumped into action. But
why do you think they didn't have any other kids?
Oh, because I think he got a vasectomy. I think he got a vasectomy. But I think, you know what I think? I think he cheats. I think he's fucking... I think he's a real cheat.
Yeah, there was something about his newfound love of, like, money.
I felt like his reveal was going to be
life.
That he wasn't going to work all the time. He was, like, boning somebody else.
Yeah.
And then, because he's, like, doesn't come home for the kid on Halloween.
He cancels the family vacation.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm really...
Were you guys worried as soon-to-be parents... Was this like a real wake-up call for you in terms of parenting style?
Oh, well, yeah. It was a cautionary tale. It's like if Gooby shows up at some point, we know we have not done a good job.
Well, look, we also learned something really important that boys don't need things. They need parents.
They need dads.
I will tell you this. I just was looking. I'm doing some
and
research.
You better fucking build a fort or a treehouse with your son or they're going to spend the rest of their life.
But by the way,
I'm
going
to take a break to do that.
Say one thing though, Willie was not the one that wanted the fort.
Yes, he did.
So both Willie and his dad both wanted forts?
They both wanted forts that both of their fathers did not give them.
Specific.
Yeah, it was like that's exactly
very
what it was.
They were
a fort gene.
I say.
Willie's was supposed to be like a space fort or something.
Right.
Like
he
that.
Had a very big space.
He also said forts are in trees, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not true, right?
No.
Yeah. Because we made forts.
You can make forts anywhere. Yeah.
Forts, tree houses are in trees, but I assumed in Canada that was the thing.
Do you guys, I looked on IMDb, like the ratings on IMDb to see who liked this movie the most, and I will tell you the number one, the highest rating are females 30 to 44.
Oof.
And males 45 plus. Those are the two demos that it spiked in.
Wow.
Which is very interesting. Now, obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people who thought better. Now it is time for a second opinion.
Second opinions! From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon they come. Second opinions for everyone. Second opinions!
All right, so these are five-star reviews culled from Amazon. Here we go. This is from Cool Dude. There weren't many five-star reviews for a movie that made $3,000. So here we go. This is the first time I ordered from Amazon.com. Received the item as described in the mail very quickly. DVD was reasonably priced. I'll be making more purchases. Five stars for Gooby. That does not really... So the delivery service of Amazon stars, should be getting the five stars, really. And then this one is by B. Reed from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I rented this off of On Demand from my cable provider for my three-year-old son. Although I did not enjoy it that much, he loved it and has begged me to watch it over and over again. So 6 months later, and after repeatedly renting it from my cable provider, I'm breaking down to buy it for him because he won't stop begging to watch it. Five stars?
Five stars for a three-year-old.
For a three-year-old who mom hates it.
But I would say, too, this, it's not like the... The look of Gooby, I found it to be terrifying. Like, it's not a...
There were times...
I can't imagine that kids... Yeah. Well, from behind, you know, as I said before, I did enjoy him.
You're like obsessed. You're obsessed with Gooby's monster butt. It's so weird.
He was very playful.
Well, the proportion of the head to the body, too. Because on the original doll, it's a big head and a small body. And then on the real, when he gets big, it's a big body and a tiny head.
Yeah.
I want to just play this one clip. This is the end narration of the boy saying goodbye to Gooby. And I found this to be amazing, coupled with the song, the Gooby song at the end, too, which we haven't talked about. But here's the end narration. Take a listen.
Final and most important rule of having a big fuzzy lunch monster? Realizing what you leave behind. What I mean is, Gooby may have gone on, but he left me with all sorts of stuff. Like how to build a space car. The best way to go grocery shopping. And how to defeat the Hoonies.
None of these things happen.
How to be a friend. Oh, and he gave me something else as well. He gave me back my dad. And maybe because of
crabs.
That, he I gave realized me crabs. That when it comes to family, where we belong isn't a place. It's with each other.
Oh, shit.
That, by the way, that sounds like the end of a movie. He did not help him with the Hoonies.
Nope.
He did not help him to go supermarket shopping the right way. The way of going supermarket shopping was just eating everything
stealing.
In the aisles.
It was basically stealing.
He didn't do any of that stuff. Would you guys, I think we've already covered this, but would you recommend this movie?
I really would not. I really would not. This was upsetting.
I don't want to put you in jeopardy with Canada at all, Nathan. But
well, I'm wondering, I mean, did... You know, the director hasn't, you know, I'm sure he's going to listen to this, right? Like, I'm sure he's...
Like yeah, you think he's got a Google alert for
his first feature
for Gooby?
His only... I just looked at IMDb. I don't think he's worked since the movie.
But
he's been in
really...
the Canadian TV industry since 1981.
He created a show called Majority Rules in 2009, the same year as Gooby, but it looks like that show is canceled. Monster
and
Warriors.
I wouldn't put all of this on the director. I mean, I think there's...
He wrote it, too.
Oh.
He produced it with a magician.
Here's a very real reality. This is for the sake of our audience. If we, through very little action, the audience of How Did This Get Made through renting this on, what was it, Amazon?
Amazon or iTunes. It's on iTunes.
Or iTunes. We could match We could match the amount of money this made in theaters through rentals very easily.
Yeah.
We could double the amount of money this movie has made. And I will challenge our audience now.
Just to give it back to the people of
just
Canada.
To give it back to those people and to show that this director, writer-director, deserves another shot, maybe a Gooby 2.
I would love a Gooby 2.
Gooby 2, where are you?
That one's a good idea.
You don't think that's a good idea? What if now Nate,
only 11,000 people need to rent this on iTunes to double the gross.
Only 11,000. Now
we get plenty of
those people.
So yeah.
So fucking step up, everybody. And I guess there's no way to track this. So maybe on Facebook we can put up a little thing, or on Twitter we can make a hashtag that's like I bought Gooby.
Yeah. I rented Gooby. Yeah,
The thing. If some of you buy Gooby, it's even fewer people because that's like $9.99.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm not upset that I saw Gooby, you know, that I watched it.
That's very ringing endorsement.
I could have a conversation about it.
There's a pull quote right there for the DVD. I am not upset that I saw Gooby.
If I wasn't doing this, I would be upset that I watched it.
We should point out, by the way, the dad is, this is a star. I realize why older women like this. The dad is the star of JAG. That's one of my grandma's favorite TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
So I would imagine if for you JAG fanatics out there that this
for
is
you JAG heads, or are they called the JAG-offs?
Well, that was an experience. I was glad to share it with all of you. You can watch Nathan For You every Tuesday night at 10:30. It is one of my favorite shows on TV. It is so fucking funny. And I can say it is, Nathan's a genius. And I can say that because he's not in front of me and I won't be embarrassed. He is an absolute genius. That show gets better and better. One of my favorite shows. And it is Tuesdays at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Definitely check that out. Also, check out my brand new show that I produced and have a very small part in called Hot Wives of Orlando, that kind of makes fun of all those housewives of Beverly Hills, Atlanta, DC. You know the ones. But even if you don't like those shows, I think you'll like this one because it has an insane cast. Casey Wilson, Kristen Schaal, Angela Kinsey, Andrea Savage, Kimberly Hill, Matt Besser, Joey McIntyre, Stephen Tobolowsky, and Weird Al Yankovic, just to name 8 or 9 people. There's a ton of great people in it. Check it out. It's on Hulu, Hot Wives of Orlando. If you have Hulu Plus, you can watch them all. Jason is in They Came Together, which is hilariously funny. We have a lot of good plugs. They Came Together is hilariously funny. It's on video on demand. You can listen to it and see it. That's how it works, people. Now, we are going to play a special clip at the end, so don't tune out just yet, but I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Obviously, our engineers, Brett and Cody, our researcher for this, who always helps me out every bit of the way, Nate Kiley. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to the person who pulls all of our clips. Her name is Avril Halley. She's awesome and made a great video called Kids Cursing. You can find that on our How Did This Get Made Twitter account. If you guys think that we missed anything today, we didn't cover anything, go to the Earwolf page, leave your comments and corrections and omissions, and we will talk about it on next week's mini episode. Now, to take you guys out, a very special Gooby theme song. This plays over the end credits. Gooby does a song and dance in front of Eugene Levy in a junkyard that has not been established. And it is a big song and dance number, which you don't often see in a movie like this. It's kind of akin to Kangaroo Jack at the end. Kangaroo Jack also performs and does impressions of Austin Powers.
Really? So,
oh, yeah. Kangaroo Jack is amazing, because you would think that Kangaroo Jack is about a talking kangaroo.
Yeah.
He does not talk in the movie.
Oh.
He only talks at the end in the credits.
No.
Yeah. So that's that. Here
awesome.
Is the Gooby theme.
It's almost like I'm playing lost and found with you. I'm nobody when I'm not hanging around with you. When you're not with me, I've got a little problem. I tend to disappear. I'm so full of doubts.
If there was anything that we missed today in Gooby, you can leave us a correction and omission. You go over to the Earwolf page on the show page. You can leave a correction and omission in our forum. We love to hear from you. And then I will read those and answer them on the mini episodes. That's how it works. And a big thanks to everyone who makes this show possible. Our engineer, Sam, our clip puller, Avril Halley. Also, Nate Kylie does all of our researching. And Leanna Waldron, who just kills it on all of the graphic designs. And of course, Katie Dyer, who does all of our social media. Thank you, guys. Without you, the show would be nothing. Remember to get yourself a Daredevil t-shirt at the Earwolf store. We will see you next time. But until then, follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. And follow me at Paul Scheer on Twitter. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. And remember to go to naturebox.com/how to get 50% off your first month of delicious, smarter snacks. And if you're in LA, get those tickets for Largo September 20th. Do it. See you next week.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.